Truth. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm glad the victory is won.
Amen.
Brethren, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from it.
Amen.
Jesus has won the victory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the good singing today. I've enjoyed every moment of it. And I praise the Lord for those who use their talent for the Lord. You have your Bible open to Romans chapter number 7. And we have read through the chapter again. I sat down at my desk this past week, and as I sat down to just look into this chapter, I said, God, give me something to help your people. You know, you read this chapter, and I'm just going to be transparent with you. You read this chapter of the Word of God, and you're thinking, what is going on here? I mean, I don't think I'm the only one, but you read this, and you say, you know, there's just a lot going on in this chapter. Now, there's a whole lot going on in chapter 6, 7, and 8. And I mean a whole lot. Usually, not always, usually when you read a chapter like chapter 7 and you just think, what did I just read? That means that God wants you to mine for some gold. There is some good stuff there. And so don't just pass it by. Selah. Amen. Spend some time there. Meditate on that. And so as I read through it, I prayed and I said, God, help me to get its truth. And then I said, now help me to simplify that I can digest it, because I just don't want to know the truth. I want to practice it. And if I'm going to practice it, I've got to know what it's saying. I've got to know what the message of the Word is. And so I looked at it, and I said, God, I'm going to need your help. And so I began to see some things that I want to share with you that I hope will help you. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk to you about what we're saying about. Having the victory. Having the victory. We've been talking about possessing your possessions. Having the victory. You do not have to live in defeat. There are some things that Paul says here. He says, first of all, look at verse number 6. He said, I want you to know in verse number 6, you've been delivered from the law. If you're saved, you're not going to be held to the standard of the law. Now, if you're not saved, the law is going to slay you. That's right. You're going to answer to the law. And you're not going to be able to answer in the affirmative, and so you're going to be condemned. I want you to know that. Now, that's not good news, but that's not all the news. There's good news coming.
Amen.
And so as a spiritual man, and here's how we're going to break it up this morning. As a spiritual man, you and I have been delivered from the demand of the law. And then Paul goes into a second phase, and that is the natural man. You know what a natural man is? It's an unsaved man. A spiritual man is a man that has trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He has been awakened spiritually. He has been quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God. We who were dead in our trespasses and sins have been made alive by the power of the resurrected Christ. A natural man knows nothing of that. The natural man knows nothing about being quickened. He is still yet dead, but not with Christ. He's dead in his trespasses and sins. And so in his natural state, he is not delivered from the demand of the law. He is doomed by the demand of the law. And then Paul closes this chapter with the carnal man. You say, what is that? Well, he said in verse number 14, we know that the law is spiritual. What do you mean the law is spiritual? The law addresses the spiritual need. The law addresses it. It awakens some things in the spirit man. The law is spiritual. But I, notice it now, am carnal. You see, If you're not careful, when you get saved, you'll think, you know, now I'm going to do everything that pleases God. No, the Spirit that lives in you is going to do everything that pleases God. Why? The Spirit can do no wrong. You understand that? Read 1 John chapter 3. The Spirit, the new nature, the divine nature that lives in me, it is impossible for the divine nature to sin. And yet He lives in me and I sin. So you have the spiritual man who is saved, the natural man that is lost, but then you have the carnal man that is saved but still has the old Adamic nature that he possessed when he was lost. And so now you have a man with two natures. And Paul's going to address that man. And he talks about the struggle that he has. So the spiritual man is delivered from the demands of the law. The natural man is under the doom of the law, but the carnal man, he is defeated by the law if he doesn't find a way to overcome the law. How is that going to happen? So you say, you know, when you get saved, a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm saved now. And this was Paul's problem. We're going to see his dilemma in just a moment. I'm saved, and so now I'm going to try to start doing. I'm a Christian now, right? I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I received Jesus as my personal Savior. And so now I'm going to start trying to do everything that God said do in the energy of the flesh. Paul said, it's not going to happen. You are going to find yourself defeated time and time again. Am I right, brethren? I'm talking to a group of people that knows what defeat is. But I also hope I talk to a group of people who understand what victory is. See, I had to suffer many defeats before I gave up on me. I used to think I can do this, but then I came to the end of me. I came to the end of me, and I live in verse number 18. Look at it. In me, look at verse 18 of chapter 7. In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I can't do this. I need some help. And then Paul begins to discuss some laws, which is very important. The way he unlocks victory is through understanding some laws. He talks about laws of the mind, which is the law of God, the law of Sinai. He talks about the law of our members, which is the law of sin. And then he closes the chapter and said, I've got this big dilemma. There's this big gulf between what I want to do and what I do. There's this big gulf between what the spirit man wants to do and what the old man wants to do, what the divine nature in me wants to do and what that old Adamic nature wants to do. There's this big gulf, and I can't get them to come together. Right? And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, I'm defeated. There has to be a new law. You see, the law of sin is like the law of gravity. It'll always pull you down. You listening? I want you to notice what he said. Paul actually said that. Look at verse 18 again with me. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do right. There's no Christian that's ever been truly born again that doesn't want to do right. But he said in verse number 18, he said, but the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. There's this gulf and I can't get it together. I cannot get this law, and we'll come back to this. And he said, I'm at an impasse. I need some help, and it's outside of myself. But Paul didn't realize, really, Paul, it's inside of yourself. There is another law, and we're going to introduce that law this morning. It's going to be a great help to you. It's going to teach you, if you don't already know, how to live in victory. If I were to come up to you and meet you on the street and say, how are you doing, and call you by your name and shake your hand and say, I'm saved, but I am really defeated. I can't seem to get over the hump. I get up and then I'm down. I get on and then I get off. I get hot and then I get cold. There's just so much inconsistency in my life. How can you advise me? How can I have victory? What would be your answer? Would it be a list of things that I needed to start doing? Think about it. Are we hurting people by when they say, I want victory? What can I do to experience the victorious Christian life? And so we give them the list. I've done it. If victory is not in me to possess, the list is not going to help me. Oh, it may last a week. But Paul, he said it. He said, I want to do what's right. And so if I give Paul, look again at verse 18. If I give Paul the list, he's going to say, the will's with me. He said, but how to do it? I can't perform it. It might last a week. You sit there, you sit in a church service and the man of God stand up and preach the word of God and the spirit of God convict you in your heart and you get moved and listen, you mean it. And you come to an altar and you say, God, I want to do right. I want to live right. Maybe you're in your study at the house or maybe you're in your secret place and God touches your heart and says, I want you to do this or I want you to quit this and I want you to just move on from that. And you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you mean it in your heart. You're going to do it. And then in the energy of the flesh, you start trying to keep the commandments, fulfilling the list, checking off the boxes. For a while, you're running well. And then you slip. And then you're overtaken because the law of sin is still in you, which is like the law of gravity. And it is constantly pulling us down. What are we going to do, brethren? Are we free? Are you free? Come on, folks. You all not hesitate. Don't let the devil rob you of the truth. Yes, you're free. Whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. We've been set free, amen. We're going to have to get another law involved because this law is hindered. Let me show you what Paul says here, and then I'm going to give you that truth. If you'll listen to me this morning, not to me, if you'll listen to what this book right here says this morning, I mean really listen. Now, the devil's going to try it. Listen, he is. He's going to try to rob you of getting this truth. This truth is going to change your life. And for those of you who have already employed it, it has changed your life. It's a truth that I wish every Christian could hear and experience. You see, Paul spends this entire sixth and seventh chapter, now listen to me, explaining some things. But then when you get to chapter 8, he goes from explaining to telling us how you can experience. I thank God for that. I'm glad the Bible just doesn't explain to me, but the Bible tells me how to experience what has been explained. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at it. The first man that Paul addresses is the spiritual man. How do you know that? Well, a couple of things just jumped off the page at me as I sit at my desk this past week. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. Know ye not, brethren, and look at this that's parenthetical, that's in the parentheses, for I speak to them that know the law. Remember what we said, those three key words? You got to know some things. All right? Remember the three key words, know, reckon, yield. Paul has not moved on from that. He is still addressing that. He says, now I want to talk to those of you who know some things. I speak to those of you who know the law. And then he said in verse number four, he said, wherefore, my brethren, you see that? He's talking to saved people. He's talking to spiritual people. We are a spiritual people. Amen. When you get saved, your spirit gets quickened. You become in tune with the spirit world. And so he said here, he said, I'm speaking to the brethren. I'm speaking to those that were Jews that have come, primarily that were Jews that have come to Christ, and now you're saved. But listen, there were even some Gentiles who, because they got in the wrong groups, they were told, you've got to keep the law. But then when they got saved, they realized that's not how you get saved at all. You don't get saved by keeping the law. As a matter of fact, you can't keep the law. Say amen with me, folks. So I'm going to keep it. Good luck. And so he said, this is what you've got to do. He said, you can't divorce God, but you can die to self. You cannot divorce the law, brethren. Now, there are many people in our society that think, I'm going to divorce the law and I'm done with it. No, you're not. God's not going to accept that divorce. You're still going to be held accountable to the law one day when you stand before God. I'll just divorce God. Nope. And we have a society today that is living that way. I've divorced God. I've just blotted God out of my mind. I've moved on from God. You'll still answer to Him. Still answer to Him one day. And so Paul said the way out is not divorce. Listen to me now. He said it's death. But God's not going to die. The law's not going to die. You have to. And so he said in verse number 4, he said, you've got to reckon. Now listen, remember, no. You've got to reckon yourself dead. That's what he said. In verse number 4, he said, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You've got to reckon yourself dead. You've got to realize when you got saved, you died with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Right? Yes. His death had your name on it. By the way, Adam's sin had your name on it too. We have two major representatives. That's why when you get saved, you have two natures. Before you get saved, you have one. It's the nature of Adam. We call that the Adamic fallen nature. That's that nature with a gravitational pull. Right? Pulling you down. You say, oh, not me, preacher. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Yes, you. Yes, me. Yes, us. And so he said here, he said, you've got to know the law. You've got to realize that you can't divorce the law. There's got to be a death. The only way that the law will not apply to you is for you to be dead. It's the only way. You got to die. You can't divorce it. Well, how am I going to do that? You've got to die. The law's not going to die. So you die with Christ. You identify with His death, but you not only identify with His death, you reckon yourself dead in Christ, but alive. Now here you go. Now you're alive to make a decision on who you're going to marry. And we talked about Mr. Law and Mr. Love, and he said in verse number 5, he said, look at it, that you should be married to another. You see that in verse 4? We're talking about the spiritual man now. You're no longer under the law, under the demands of the law. You're not held to the rigid standard of the law. No, you're in Christ, and He has fulfilled the law, right? And so now the penalty of that law is not on you. The condemnation of that law is not on you because you're in Christ who has fulfilled the law and is the end of the law of righteousness unto everyone that believeth. That's what happens when you get saved. Amen. And so he said this. Why is that? Look in the latter part of verse number 4. Even to him who is raised from the dead, this is really, really important, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You'll never bring forth fruit. You'll never have victory. You'll never live the victorious, fruitful Christian life until you live in the power of the resurrected Christ. How's that going to happen? Where are we going to see? So he addressed the spiritual man. Number 2, watch what Paul does here. He said, you know, I was a natural man at one time. He said, I didn't realize it, but I was lost. He said, I thought I was okay, but the law sure did wake some things up in me. Notice what happens in verse number 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Is it the law's fault that we're under condemnation? God forbid. Look what Paul said. He said, how could you come to that conclusion on what I've told you? God forbid. It's not the law's fault that you've sinned. See, people have been blaming other people for their sin back way before this generation. Back in Paul's day, they were blaming the law. Right? They were blaming God. You thought that just started in your lifetime, didn't you? It's God's fault I'm a sinner. No, it's not. It's your fault. And so he said in verse number 7, what should we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Now I want you to notice what happens here. Paul goes to using some past tense terms. And I must hasten. He said, I had, that's past tense, not known sin but by the law. I had not known lust except the law had said. And so he said in verse number 8, but sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, which just simply means this is like, listen, it's evil, strong, passionate, evil desires. And he said, for without the law sin was dead. You see all those past tense verbs? Paul's going back to a time when he was not saved. And he said, you know, I thought I was doing okay. Look at what he actually said in verse number 9. He said, for I was alive without the law once. I remember how, as I was kind of, you know, skipping through life and things were good, and then all of a sudden the law hit me and showed me myself, and my goodness, I couldn't get over that. By the way, that's what happened in your life too. The law hits you, and I mean, my friend, when it hits you, you realize when God's law, see, God's law doesn't originate sin, it just awakens it. You listening? Paul said it himself. He said, it's not the law that caused me to covet. It was the law that told me I shouldn't do it. Look at the latter part of verse number 7. It's the law that exposed sin in my life. It's the law that told me this is wrong. And Paul said, I thought I was doing good. Look, if you would, at verse number 11. He said, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. I thought I could get by. Isn't that what sin does? It deceives you. You won't get caught. Yes, you will. This won't matter. This won't affect nobody but you. That's a lie. Sin is deceitful, brethren. Sin offers a lot and promises a little. Sin just makes us think that it's all going to be all right. It's just a little thing. It's just a little sin. There's no such thing as a little sin. And the law, listen to me, the law is the strength of sin. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I'm going to say that again. The law is the strength of sin. See, the more that you understand the law, the more that you understand how devastating sin can be. God shines the light of His law in your heart, and you see yourself, and I see myself as I really am. And now, Paul said, I want you to know something, natural man. He's talking about the natural man. Went from the spiritual man to the natural man. I want you to know something. Look at what he said in verse number 12. He said, it's not the law now, for the law, he said, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good. It's not the law with the problem. It's us. Is that right, church? It's mankind. It's mankind. We're the problem. Paul, he alliterated on, he expanded on this in verse number 3. For what the law could not do, chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. See, the law couldn't do its work because of us. Not its first intended work. And then God said, you keep the law, you can live. But God knew we couldn't keep the law. And so what did God do? God gave the law so that we could see we couldn't keep the law, so we could realize I'm a sinner. And God is holy. I need God in my life. See, God used the law to create a thirst and a hunger and a need in our hearts for God. You have to see that you're a sinner. You must realize your inability before you'll ever depend upon God. And so he said the law is good. And by the way, I want to say in verse number 12, thank God for the law. There are those that say, oh, the law's bad, the law this, the law that. Listen, the law's a wonderful thing. It's our schoolmaster. See, it was the law that told me, Dale Freeman, you're a sinner. It was the law that showed me, and I want you to get this term. Verse 13, I could preach the next hour. Don't get nervous, I'm not going to, but I could preach the next hour on verse 13. Look at it if you would, please. Was then that which is good, that's the law, made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, this is what the law does, that it might appear sin. That you might know it's not a mistake, brother. Hear me now. It's not a mistake. It's not a complex. It's not a phobia. It's not a disease. It's sin. 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 Sin destroys. Sin kills. It devastates. It wrecks. It ruins. It annihilates. And in the end, it kills. Sin. If we could ever get a hold of the truth of sin, it would change our lives. When we are not serious about living for God, when we are not serious about doing what God's will is, it's because we do not understand the devastating effects of sin. I've seen sin ravage homes, wreck lives, ruin marriages, kill babies. You listening to me? We have our own little pet names for sin, and we've tried to dress it up, candy coat it, make it okay, but in the end, God said it's ungodly, it's evil, it's iniquity, it's transgression, it's sin. In the latter part of verse number 13, he said, it is exceedingly sinful. Sin. Our churches have quit hating sin. Our preachers have quit preaching against it. And we've started to take it lightly. And it has slipped in the back door. And it is having its way in many a life. God help me and God help you to recognize. Look what he said now in verse 13. But sin, that it might appear just that, what it is, sin. Well, I know we have different names for it. I know we dress it up. He didn't have adultery, he just had an affair. He's an adulterer. He's not a drunkard, he's an alcoholic. He's a drunkard. He's not a liar, he just likes to exaggerate a little bit. He's a liar. There's danger in that. There's danger in changing what God calls it. I'm not saying being hateful. You know me better than that. But I am saying, name it. In your life, call it what it is. Amen. Treat sin as God treats it. And when we get to that place, then God can do something in our lives. So Paul said, I want to talk to the spiritual man. I want to talk to the natural man. And then in verse number 14, he switches. I'm not going to spend much time here because I want to get to my new law. Verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. What's Paul saying there? I've got two natures now. And so he begins to address the struggle between the old and the new. And when you read down through here, he says, you know, that which I would allow, I don't do, and that which I don't do, I do, and that which I want to do, I don't. And he just talks about the struggle of the Christian because he has two natures. I will go into that a little more in chapter 8, but I want to give you the new law. You ready? So here's our laws. I want you to underline them in your Bible. In verse 21, Paul said, I find then a law. Watch it now. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. I'm saved now. And listen, there's something in me that does good. I didn't say I was good. I said there's something in me that does good. There's someone in me that does good. He's the Holy Spirit. But even then, evil is present with me. It's like the old sinful nature saying, you don't have to do that. You don't have to carry it so far. Do you get what Paul was saying here? Look at it one more time now. I find then a law that when I would do good, why don't you do the right thing, Dale Freeman? The Spirit of God says in my heart, and I said, you know what, I am. But then there's evil present with me saying, why? You don't have to do that. Right? Come on, folks. I'm not the only one fighting this battle. You're fighting it too. We're in this together. And so he said, there's this battle raging inside of me. And so he said in verse number 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I want to do what's right. There, listen, the Spirit of God in me wants to do right. The Spirit of God in me can do no wrong. The Spirit of God wants to lead me in the paths of righteousness for Christ's sake. The Spirit of God in me wants to do that. Something happened in my life when I got saved. God took up abode in my soul. And all of a sudden, my desires began to change. And there was just things happening in my life. It was the Spirit of God active in my life. But while the Spirit of God was saying do one thing, this old Adamic nature was saying do another. Boy, I had this thing going on, you know. And so there's this law, the law of God. But then notice what he said in verse number 23. But I see another law. You see that? He said this law in verse number 23 is the law of my mind. Or the law of my members. The first law was the law of his mind. He said, so I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Are you there? You with me? You following in the Bible? So you have the law of Sinai in his mind. Watch it carefully now. And then you have the law of his members. That's the law of sin. And so you've got this thing going on. God says do right. Sin says do wrong. Law of my mind says you ought to do this. The law of your members says no, do this. And Paul said, there's just this great conflict going on inside of me. I need some help. Who's going to deliver me? There is this great gulf. What am I going to do? Christian, what do you do? What do you do when your mind says do one thing and your members say do another? What do you do when the law of God, you know what the law of God says, thou shalt not steal. But the law of your members says, go ahead and take it. You need it more than they do. It's not anything if you take from the man. Huh? Right? And then Paul said, I want to introduce you to a new law. And I'm going to give you this law and then give you some ways you can employ it into your life. So I hope you'll write them down. Notice in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Here you go. For the law of the Spirit. There's our new law. There's the law of Sinai. There's the law of sin, but now there's the law of the Spirit. What's the law of the Spirit? There's the knowing, there's the reckoning, and there's the yielding. Okay? You've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. As a matter of fact, notice if you went to verse number 8, verse number 9, Paul went on to make it very clear. He said, listen, I'm not talking to folks who go to church. I'm bringing this to today's setting. I'm not talking to people who have a strong desire to do better and want to turn over a new leaf. I'm talking to people who have been transformed by the power of God, who have been saved in the grace of God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Please don't miss this. Look at verse number 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If you're saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. You say, preacher, I've been praying for the Spirit for 25 years. Well, you got the Holy Spirit of God when you got saved. Amen. And if he's not in you, you're not saved. I'm not being mean now. I'm just stating clear, plain, biblical facts. Look at verse 9 one more time. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Now, if any man... have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not of his. Now, I didn't say that. Paul did under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So what are we going to do? Let's think about it. We're going to yield to another law. I don't know that this is heavy enough. Here we go. Well, nope. We'll use this. Here you are. Got the songs in your heart. Boy, I'm gonna serve God. But there's another law. The law of your members says, no, you're not. And it's doing this to you. You ready? You know what this is? Somebody tell you what the law of this is. Law of gravity. I tested the law of gravity when I was about 9 years old. I crawled up on my barn with an umbrella. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story, but I will tell you this, it didn't end well. And I'm being just dead serious. Like Brother Robert says, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I won a stupid prize that day, me and my brother both. The law of gravity is tugging. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. Constantly trying to get you to go against. And contrary is the word Paul used in Galatians chapter 5 to the things of the Spirit. But now he said, I've got another law. This law is going to defeat the law of gravity. How many of you know what the law of aerodynamics is? The law of aerodynamics says, I'm going to fly. We say that. Heading out of town. Yeah, I'm going to fly out tomorrow. You are? Where'd you get wings? Flying out tomorrow. No, you're not. Something's going to fly you out. And if you're going to defeat the law of gravity, you're going to need something to defeat it for you. You're not going to defeat the law of sin in yourself.
That's right. Amen.
The Spirit of God is the law of aerodynamics. The law of aerodynamics is greater than the law of gravity. So how do you know that? Well, just walk outside. Well, you could have walked out a couple of days ago and seen a big old air balloon out there. But when you look up in the air, you'll see this thing that you would think there. Listen, there's no way that big old thing right there is going to get up there. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you say, well, there's no way that I'm going to be able to overcome this. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Just not in your own strength. You're going to need some help. And so what you have to do is employ a new law. Here's the law, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close with this. I want you to listen. You can close your Bible. I want you to listen to me. So what is the law of the Spirit, preacher? How can I employ the law of the Spirit? I want you to listen to me. So I'm talking. Pastor David came to visit with me Thursday. He and I sitting in our front room, and we're talking about some church things. And I got a phone call, and I said, Brother, I need to take this call. And I hope, Brother Larry, I hope you're watching. You inspired this last point. I was looking for a missing link, and you gave it to me. And so Brother Larry in Bowdoin calls me, and he tells me, Preacher, I'm sick, and he tells me some things, and it broke my heart. He said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to be at church. And he said, I've got to go in for these infusions. And he began to talk, and he said, but I want you to know, he said, I will be watching. He said, I have really been enjoying these messages on the law and the Spirit and just knowing and reckoning and yielding. And he said, but you know, preacher, he said, it's just elementary, the things that we really need to do. And then he mentioned three things, and immediately the Spirit of God said, there it is right there. Because I had been thinking leading up to that time, we're at Thursday now, and I've been thinking, God, I need to know, you know, what you'd have me to. And I looked at this passage of Scripture, and I knew it was the law of the Spirit. How do you yield to the law of the Spirit? How can the law of the Spirit become activated into my life so that I can defeat the law of sin? What about you? So, well, I'm just going to yield to everything the Spirit says. Well, that's good. That's good. But can you spell that out? Can you put some wheels on that? Brother Larry did for me. Remember what he said, Brother David? Read your Bible. Oh, that's easy. Yeah, I know. Until you go to do it.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
You hit it.
pray. I'm gonna tie all this in together. The Spirit of God done this, not me. The Spirit of God using a wise man named Brother Larry and Bowden. He said, they just, listen, he didn't say that. We just need to read the Word of God, pray, and attend church. Is that what he said, Pastor David? Now, later, as I was thinking about what he said, God gave me a fourth one, serve. So I want you to get this. What's that have to do with anything? The Spirit of God gave us the Word of God. You listening now? This is what, as I was sitting there thinking about what Brother Larry told me, I thought, this is it. The Spirit of God gave us the Word of God. The devil doesn't want you reading the Word. You'll think, I'm going to do this without the Word of God. No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm just going to sit back in a chair. I'm just going to sit here and say, you know, Spirit of God, do it. Do it. Right? Do it. That'd be like saying, I'm going to sit in the terminal and that plane is going to get me to where I'm going. You're going to have to get on that plane. Hey, man. Spirit of God, do it. No, you get in the Word and the Spirit of God to do His work. So the Spirit of God is directly responsible for the Word of God. Prayer. We'll get on it later in chapter 8. The Spirit of God will lead you into prayer. Jude said you are to pray in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God aids us in our prayer. You say, I want to live the Spirit-filled life. I want to have victory over sin. I want to have victory, and I don't want to be pulled down with gravity. I want to excel. I want to do God's work. Get in the Word of God. Pray. Pray. You say, that's easy, preacher. How much did you pray this past week? How much did you pray this morning? I'll challenge me. How much did I pray? See, we're wanting to live victory. We're just not wanting to do what it's going to take by yielding to the things of the Spirit to get it. I'm not willing to read the Word of God like I should, but I want the results that I could get if I would do it. That's like sitting in the terminal at the airport saying, well, let's see, there goes my plane. There goes heading out to California. I hope I get there. Well, you're not going to get there sitting in the terminal. You say, that sounds stupid, preacher. Wait a minute now, don't indict yourself. We expect to have victory, but we're not willing to allow the Spirit of God to move in our lives by doing the things He has originated and He has done in order for us to have the victory. The Word of God, given by the Spirit of God. Prayer. We pray in the Spirit. You go through the Scriptures. I did it. And you look at the times praying in the Spirit are mentioned together. Church. Who birthed the church? The Spirit of God. We're all baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13, by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You got to get down to the house of God so the Spirit can give you that law of aerodynamics. Yes.
Amen.
Service. So I'm going to serve God. Not if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're not. You can do it in the energy of the flesh. Going to be no results. Not lasting results. So now when I read verse number 2, you can stand to your feet. When I read Romans 8, verse number 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That law of aerodynamics defeated the law of gravity. But now I've got to employ the law of aerodynamics. I must employ the law of the Spirit. How you do that? Well, He lives in you. Just let Him do His work. There is no way that if you're saved, the Spirit of God doesn't tell you to read His Word. Just do what He says. That's called yielding. That's our third word. It's called yielding. You don't have to come up with something new. Just do what God said do. Is that right? You don't have to get a list from the preacher. I'm telling you. The Spirit of God, He'll tell you. If you're saved, the Spirit of God will say, read the Word. Just do what He says do. Read the Word. Then the Spirit of God say, hey, it's time to pray. You say, well, I'm sleepy. I like what Brother Rod said. Yeah, I have that problem, Brother Rod. I do. I'm sleepy. And sometimes I'll be laying in the bed and I'll think, I can't go to sleep. The Spirit of God will say, well, read the Bible. And I'll start reading the Bible. Then all of a sudden my brain will say, like, now go to sleep. Amen. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Attend church. I'm not talking about a Sunday morning now and then. Get in. Same food you get on Sunday morning, you'll get on Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Amen. You find every excuse in the book to be a one-time a weeker. You listening? We just got to do what God said. There's a pull. And then finally, serve God. I'm going to ask the pianist, she's already come, start playing softly if you would.